sporting views on and off the field on Clare FM's Sideline View in association with DNG O'Sullivan Hurley.
Good evening and welcome along to Clare FM Sideline View. Derry Clinch with you until 7 this evening. Another busy weekend in store and a busy show to reflect that, with lots to get through over the course of the next hour. We've minor hurling, senior hurling, Camogie, athletics and greyhounds all on the menu, so plenty for you to get involved with. And we're starting this evening with that look ahead to Sunday's showdown in Cusick Park as Clare take on Waterford in the final round of the group stages of the Munster Hurling Championship. Now, we know Clare already safely through to that decider against Limerick in Thurles, confirmed during the week that it's on in Simpel Stadium Sunday, June 5th. But for Waterford, it's going to be a very nervous afternoon indeed, because regardless of the outcome in Ennis, the league champions will be out of this year's championship if Cork be tipped down in Thurles. The Rebels would be going through by virtue of their head-to-head record after that game in Walsh Park last weekend. Lots for to work out across the afternoon, and to look ahead at how it might all play out, Clare FM analyst Tommy Guilfoyle and Gavin Whelan of WLR to give us the lowdown from the Daisha side of the country. Lads, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Gavin, if I can start with yourself, I mean, I'm kind of scratching my head wondering how it has come like this for Waterford with the fate out of your own hands. I can just imagine what it's like down there.
Yeah, very good evening, Derek. Certainly is, I suppose, somewhat nerves and unusual. You know, I think if you go back a month ago when Waterford lifted the league title, an unbelievable performance that night in Thurles, and, you know, you roll on a couple of weeks and I suppose we're, you know, it's out of our hands relying on results elsewhere to, you know, remain in the Munster Championship, to remain in the All-Ireland Championship. So certainly, I suppose, not what we envisaged, having to go up to try and, first of all, I suppose, get a result against Clare on their own home patch. Now, obviously, you know, we'd be hoping Tipperary can do us a favour. We might necessarily need a result, but, you know, it's kind of out of our hands, which is I suppose, disappointing from Waterford's point of view, and certainly not a position we would have liked to be in. But look, that's the nature of the white heat of Munster Championship. It all comes down to the day, and ultimately Waterford, you know, have just 2 points from three games to date. And, you know, last Sunday Cork were the better team. They were full value for the victory, and it is what it is now, I suppose. But yeah, certainly there is a sort of a nervousness and a tension down here now that, you know, our championship season is hanging by a thread. So yeah, it's kind of hard to explain what the atmosphere is like here in Waterford, Derek, at the minute. But yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to see, you know, how many fans will make the trip to Ennis on Sunday. But very, very interesting. And, you know, who knows, Monday morning, I'm sure we'll all know what way the season is going. But certainly nervous down here in Waterford at the minute.
Yeah, judging by the amount of tickets that have come back on stream anyway, I think that maybe the Waterford crowd mightn't be in as big a number as we might have expected. But this is probably a first big test for Liam Cahill and Mikey Beavens. And, you know, if you were to maybe read into it now with the benefit of hindsight, him looking for Welsh Park to be packed last weekend and all that, and didn't spare the players after it either words, you know, so it's kind of, is he making it easy perhaps to read into the mood of the camp with that?
Yeah, in fairness, and, you know, chatting to Liam afterwards, you know, I suppose he didn't hold back, you know, and what disappointed him, I think, you know, and a lot of the Waterford supporters, Derek, was the lack of energy and the lack of work rate, which we've come to associate with the Waterford team. You know, Cork bullied Waterford, which Liam alluded to in his post-match interview afterwards last week, and that was really disappointing, you know, because ultimately the home games in the Munster Championship, you need to be getting at least a point or maximum points in those games, and that was bitterly disappointing. Liam, of course, hadn't lost a game in Welsh Park up to last Sunday, so that certainly, you know, will have certainly disappointed him. But as I said, look, I'm sure he got back to work during the week with the lads, and, you know, his aim now is to try and, first of all, I suppose, lift the heads and bring that level of performance that they're capable of bringing to Ennis next weekend, you know, on Sunday. And you know, obviously Waterford, the record in Ennis over the last couple of years hasn't been great. It's not an easy place to go, as we've seen from last Sunday with Limerick going down there. So certainly Waterford, it's backs to the wall. But, you know, they have a game coming again, thick and fast. So it is a chance. You know, there's no time for resting on the laurels. It's about, I suppose, refocusing quickly. I'm sure Liam would have done that during the week. But I'm sure he's hurting. The players are hurting. There's no doubt about that, Derek, because, you know, that level of performance last week, certainly it wasn't the Waterford we know of, and certainly which we've come to expect, I think, over the last couple of weeks and indeed over the last couple of seasons, you know.
Absolutely. Tommy Guilfoyle, if we can look at it from a Clare point of view, then safely through to the final. Some people suggesting Tony Kelly shouldn't even be near Cusick Park on Sunday, wrap him up in cotton wool and give him a coffee, is what a lot of people are saying. But I suppose, like, you want to be building momentum, you know, there's a real feel-good factor. There'll be a good Clare crowd in, you know, send them off to a Munster final off the back of a good performance and hopefully another couple of points. Is that the way you'd be looking at it?
Yeah, I think it is, Derek, but I think, you know, looking at it from the Clare's management point of view, I suppose, you know, you can turn on and turn off, you know, preparations. It is, after all, you know, a home Munster championship game. He has regal room, and he isn't under any pressure, but I don't envisage too many changes, maybe two or three, maybe possibly, and, you know, there'll be players that, you know, coming back from injury, and, you know, Ian Galvin missed last week for suspension reasons. You know, when you look through the other panel members that have got little game time, you know, Shane Meehan coming back from injury, maybe Aaron Shanahan could do with a bit of game, Aaron Fitz, Jack Brown. So, you know, if Brian, you know, chooses to start and include any of those, I don't think it'll weaken the team. I think, you know, those players will be playing for their place, you know, come Munster final Sunday 2 weeks. So, I think he's in a good position, but knowing Brian, you know, Brian is a winner. I don't think he's compared to the likes of Cody. You know, goes out. He's a real steely, you know, attitude about him. So I don't expect him to be treating Waterford lightly. They'll rest and recover and prepare this week. But you know, obviously in the knowledge that the pressure is off, but I think Brian will be looking for a performance on Sunday, you know, to follow on the two wins and the draw that we had in the other round. So I'd say more of the same probably going forward. And, you know, Sunday, it's a home game. I think he'll be looking for a performance, and a performance good enough to win. And, you know, that's what he'll be looking for, I think.
Yeah, I think that element of being able to read the mood through the manager was evident in Brian last week as well, because talking to him after the game, he without being prompted, you know, kind of mentioned that they felt under pressure in front of their own home crowd. You know, there's been a call out for Club Clare for people to get behind this team and all that. So they did feel that pressure of the home crowd. There was a real sense of the whole county back in this team now. You know, he was stopping for selfies at Young Lads and all that sort of stuff. So you'd imagine he'd want to keep that feel-good factor going.
Yeah, and again, look at when did Lohan ever back down from a challenge? You know, the bigger the challenge, the bigger, you know, that he becomes. And I think, you know, he is aware, you know, he has responsibilities. But I do think that, you know, he has united, I suppose, the hurling people of Clare. I think, you know, it's rubbing off in with the minors, the under-21s had good performances. And indeed, you know, under the banner of Club Clare, Clare Camogie is flying it. So, you know, it's a kind of a rising tide lifts all boats. I think he's conscious, you know, of the position he's in, doesn't take it lightly, and, you know, is a demanding manager. But, you know, sometimes I suppose, yeah, he's human. You know, a smile comes to the face, and there was an ounce of satisfaction there last week. But don't be caught by Lohan. You know, he'll be looking to get back on the horse and go back winning again next week.
Yeah, he sure will. And just finding it yourself, Gavin, I'm just thinking, is it a mental challenge as much as anything else now for both Cahill and Bavins and his players? Because if you're out in the field, you can't help but be wondering what's going on in Thurles. You know, how are things going there? So, like, that's going to be a real risk, or a real challenge, I should say, for them now on Sunday, blocking out all that and concentrating on Cusick Park.
Yeah, it certainly will, Derek. You know, I'm sure they will be, you know, keeping an eye on it. But I'm sure, first of all, it's about, you know, making sure, you know, that the attitude is a lot better than last week, and, you know, bringing that high level of energy, which we've, you know, known Waterford over the last couple of seasons, to the table. And then, you know, leave what happens in Thurles happen, you know. I'm sure, obviously, it'll be the one time, I suppose, a lot of Waterford fans will be rooting for Tipperary in a big game, you know. And, you know, there's every reason, I think, to believe as well that Tipperary are capable of certainly matching Cork in a lot of elements. You know, they won't want to have four losses under their name for the Munster Championship in the round robin. So, yeah, it's going to be weird. I'm sure there'll be a lot of calculators and stuff, and a lot of, you know, people tuning into the Cork game as well to see how that's going. But, you know, Waterford, I suppose, you know, first of all, have to go up and kind of take care of yourself. First of all, Liam Cahill will be looking for a bounce back from last weekend, because, you know, it's two losses in the last two games. You know, you don't want to be ending the Munster Championship with another loss. You know, but it's going to be a significant challenge. Clare have really come out all guns blazing. I've been hugely impressed with him in the Munster Championship to date. You know, obviously coming in somewhat under the radar, which maybe suited Brian Lohan and his players, that they've really come out with a huge level of energy and work rate, and playing for one another, really, and really bringing this level of, you know, aggression as well as quality hurling to the table as well. Derek, obviously, they're unbeaten in the Munster final as well, so Brian Lohan must be really, really pleased with how things are going along with Clare. And, you know, it's a home game for them. It's a couple of weeks before they play Limerick in the Munster Championship, you know, so they'll want to keep that momentum going. And, you know, I don't expect them to drop that level of energy or that. It'll be interesting to see the Clare team. You spoke about Tony Kelly there, and Tommy mentioned that about, you know, keeping the momentum going. So I expect Clare to go, you know, gung ho for this one and keep that winning run going. And, you know, they pride themselves in playing well in front of their home fans. So that'll be a big factor as well on Sunday. So I don't expect there'll be any holding back from either county come 4 o'clock on Sunday, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting afternoon, lads. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us there this evening. Tommy, just before I let you go, I know we touched on it earlier, but you have a big weekend coming up with Roscommon. You're heading for Croke Park tomorrow, yourself and Francie and Steve Cusick and Owen Fitzgerald flying the banner flag under the same colours. Big afternoon ahead. You must be looking forward to it.
Yeah, and again, look at, I mean, it's kind of, I pinched myself there this evening. Like, I'm getting the gear bag ready there now. We've an early start in the morning there, you know, going to Croke Park, I suppose, to play an All-Ireland final. And I suppose, personally, I suppose, you know, as a young boy growing up, I always dreamed of playing there. Unfortunately, you know, never got the chance. And probably when you finish playing, you know, you get into coaching and management. So, you know, I probably would have. I'm a Clareman at heart. I'll always be a Clareman. But tomorrow, like, I mean, Roscommon GAA have given, you know, the four of us this opportunity. We've worked hard. The panel has worked hard. The players couldn't praise them enough. You know, the backroom team. And as I said, you know, earlier there, you know, I mean, in every county, there's a pocket of hurling fanatics. And Roscommon are no different. We've only, you know, five or six clubs to pick from. But, you know, really, really good hurling people, very, very good, you know, very cooperative county board, hurling board particularly. And, you know, so a lot of time and effort has gone into it. It has been very intense. You know, it is, I think we've had a weekend or 2 weekends off since January. So, you know, culminating in tomorrow. But look, at where else would you want to be only going to Croke Park at 3 o'clock tomorrow? And really looking forward to it. But as a part of the management team, you're nervous and you're a bit apprehensive. It's about, you know, get your team to perform, particularly on the big day, you know, play the match rather than the occasion and the venue. But really looking forward to it. And hopefully if we perform and put in a result, put in a good performance, you know, we'll be in with a good chance of winning the game. And, you know, I mean, I'll really be the happiest man in Ireland if we can get Roscommon over the line tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, the very best of luck to yourself, Tommy, and all the crew involved from Clare in trying to do that tomorrow in that Nicky Rackard final up in Croke Park against Tyrone. And Tommy will be joining us in the commentary position then on Sunday, fresh as a daisy, no doubt, and looking forward with those Roscommon colours tidied up as Clare colours maybe for that particular game. We'll have live commentary in association as ever with Matt Waters of Clare Fruit and Veg and Gertie Spar and off licence on the Turnpike in Ennis. We're turning now to Camogie, where a hectic schedule for Clare continues as the Premier Junior and Senior All-Ireland Series get underway this weekend. The juniors will be part of a Cusick Park doubleheader on Sunday afternoon as they provide the curtain raiser to the hurling by taking on Mayo with a 2 o'clock start. It's a familiar opponent for the senior side, who take on Tipperary for the third time in 4 weeks tomorrow evening when they go down to the Rag. Ahead of that, I've been speaking with Clare defender Ciara Grogan, starting with her thoughts on what's been a busy few weeks.
All the matches are coming at one. At the moment, we had our tip match and we had a replay there, and then we had the Cork final. So that's already 3 weeks in a row, and we've another three in a row now starting with our All Ireland series. So we've a lot to do and a lot of time to try and get ready for Saturday as well. So if we just keep going with our rehab and our recovery and our training, we'll be sorted then.
Is it a schedule players like to have games like that, or could it be broken up a small little bit?
I think the only issue really that happened was our tip match at Bota replay. So that actually pushed out our Munster final against Cork. So we would have had a weekend off there, the weekend just gone by. So I think that just kind of brought everything coming together then with that replay.
Yeah, it probably sounds strange given that the Cup didn't come home to Clare, but it feels like it's been a winning run. I mean, there was that brilliant game against Tip and Thurles, a fantastic performance in the replay, and just epic stuff then a week ago down in Parky Rin. So, I mean, momentum is something that you'll obviously be hoping to harness now.
Oh, definitely. Like, every single match we've had, we've been building on it every time like that. Like, the match on Saturday, it was very tough, but it was definitely something that's going to stand to us in the coming weeks for the All-Ireland Series. It was absolutely brilliant. And even building from that tip game, I just think even our performance has has been better every single game that we played.
And you're getting some impact off the bench as well, which must be very pleasing. Like, you look at Kate O'Gorman, wins the player of the match in the junior final and then comes on to aid the effort in the senior game. So, like, everybody putting their shoulder to the wheel.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's even a great thing about the panel that we have at the moment, like training both our senior and juniors together. We've a massive talent to choose from. And just say the likes of Kate O'Gorman, who, like that, got player of the match in the game in the junior. So, like, it's great, and it's definitely a thing that's going to prepare us for whatever is thrown at us when it comes to the All-Ireland series, to be able to pull from some of those players in the junior.
And I suppose initially when that structure was devised by Conor and the rest of them, that I suppose everybody was wondering, how is this going to work? But you've certainly got the answer to that in recent weeks.
Definitely, yeah, because even at that, like, we've never experienced something like that in Clare with the two panels training together. But the likes of Galway and Cork have always been doing it. So it was interesting to begin with, but the management team have been absolutely brilliant with everything that they've been doing. And both the teams, the junior and the senior, we're all playing in the exact same structure, which is brilliant for any time that we're calling people up from the juniors. They also know the structure straight away. So
this week, I'd imagine the training load would be quite light. A couple of visits to whatever local lake or river you can get maybe to aid that recovery, but sharpening the minds again now ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think all we've been doing at the moment is a bit of recovery, but we've training tonight. But definitely just the quick few kind of touch drills and so on to just sharpen up the touch and just to make sure that we're ready against Tip again, because they'll be absolutely gunning for us now on Saturday, so we need to bring the fight to them as well.
Yeah, that's something you'll be aware of. John referenced it nearly immediately after the game on Saturday evening, that this is a Tip team now. I think he used the word forewarned. So, I mean, the wounded animal element will probably come into this.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they were brilliant against us on the first day and then again on the second day. So they'll be absolutely gunning for us. And we know what to expect from them, and they know what to expect from us. So we just have to make sure that we bring in that performance that we even brought with Cork and put that fight in it against Tip as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure as a teacher, the too small Lana Hibra old adage will be out. Like, I mean, you have the game against Tip, the game against Cork, and then three home games to finish. So if you could come back to Cusick Park with points on the board in some form or another, it would really set you up for a right crack at those last few games, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. Like, the first two games away is a great setup for us at the moment. To even get one win or obviously two wins would be absolutely brilliant to come in to the likes of Dublin, Wexford and Waterford that we all have at home. And it would be great to just have that confidence to even start off well, and especially when we're tapering off to the end of the championship with, you know, the panel that we have. I think it would be brilliant to start off well with those wins.
And just finally, you'd be hoping to capitalise on this as well, like the good mood that's around hurling and camogie in the county at the moment. And I know a lot of it driven by Club Clare. People still can join up to Club Clare and get behind the effort, because in the next 6 to 8 weeks, like, it's going to be a very, very busy time and hopefully a successful time.
Yeah, definitely. Club Clare have been absolutely immense at the moment. Even with regards to us as the camogie team, the amount of opportunities that they've given us has been absolutely brilliant. And they've given us all the stops with the regards to your nutritionist, your psychologist, everything that we wouldn't have had before in Clare Camogie. So I think it's a massive thing that people should get behind. You can see the likes of the Clare under 20s, the Clare minors, the Clare seniors at the moment. It's a great little club to be involved in, and it's brilliant that if people sign up for it, it's going to be great coming into the summer as well.
Hopefully a long summer ahead. ClubClare.com is where you can head for further information, or their social channels as well. That's Clare Kira's Grogan there, ahead of their tie with Tip tomorrow evening in the Rag. That one getting underway at 5 o'clock. We're back shortly here on Sideline View.
Oh, when I said a room with a view, I didn't mean overlooking Cusick Park.
Let DNG O'Sullivan Hurley and their award-winning team find your perfect view. Visit DNGO'SullivanHurley.com. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
The crowd goes quiet. He steps up. It's a big moment for him. He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Now you're welcome back to the show, where Clare's minor hurling side travel to Athenry tomorrow to take on Galway in the first of two games in that All-Ireland round-robin qualifier series. The Clare team named last night shows one change from the Munster final, Dermot Stritch coming back in after recovering from his concussion injury. I've been speaking to Clare selector Cyril Lyons, starting with his thoughts on their journey to date.
It's been an incredible journey, Derek, you know, and I suppose part of the management team, this is one thing you were hoping for at the start of the year, that you get a run of matches, you know, so that you get to see players play and get their experiences and they will grow through the campaign, you know. And this was our first target, was to get to a semi-final, and you know, and if we got over that, then we knew that we'd be getting at least two more matches. So look, we're playing game six now, and as I said to you, like, we've had wonderful experiences, you know. We've been kind of the tour of Munster, we've been in Thurles, Páirc Uaireann, the Gaelic Grounds, Six Mile Bridge, and Innes, you know. And for 16, 17 year olds to be playing inter-county matches at all these venues at such a young age, like, has been wonderful for them. So we're really looking forward to going to Athenry on Saturday.
Yeah, and just in the context of all those games, I thought it was really interesting to hear Brian kind of putting to bed the talk of the turnaround in 12 months, that, you know, he felt last year's group, had they had a second or a third game, you would have had a chance to respond to what happened. And I know things had to be the way they were because of the pandemic and all that, but you can really see this year now the progression that these young lads have made from that first night in Simple Stadium to what they produced in the Gaelic Grounds a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think you could write last year's off. You know, that was a once-off for a whole lot of reasons, you know. And I suppose the challenge then for the teams coming after last year's group was, you know, that, OK, now that we were familiar with COVID and all the restrictions of it, that, OK, that you got to work around that and work with it. And I think you've probably seen the benefit of that this year.
The performances, though, I think one word that people have used, and it's maybe a bit of a juxtaposition, is to say that it's a mature performance that these young lads have delivered.
Yeah, I suppose the one thing that the management have been trying to do is kind of, and I suppose great credit goes to probably Brian and Damien for this, is that, you know, there's a particular style of play, you know, and I suppose that's been the big learning for everybody here, you know. Okay, they all have a certain skill set, but to be able to integrate as part of a team and understand your role within a team and play within a kind of a team game plan to or a team context, you know, I suppose that has been the challenge, really. And so that's been the real workings for the last 6 months, is that, okay, this is the type of game we play, this is how we want you to play. And if you're playing a particular position, this is what is expected of you. And in fairness, the buy-in from the players to that has been tremendous.
It must be enthusing for people to be involved with this group and seeing the flood of talent that's coming through. Like, you'd have seen a lot of us being involved with the Cora Fianna Fáil group for a couple of years there as well, that there's a confidence that the next wave of young Clare hurler is ready to step up.
Yeah, well, I suppose the challenge in Clare is, look at, we don't have the pick of the Tipperary's and the Galway's and the Cork's. Is, look at, we really have to do our work really smartly and really well. You know that, I suppose the advantage, if you want to use that word, of having a limited pool of players is, okay, this is the group you've got to work with. Okay, got to be patient with those. Okay, you've got to work with them, stick with them. Okay, and bring them through the years and see where that leads you. You know, you could see probably in other counties that maybe have 50 or 60 players that they could comfortably pick from. That choice isn't as rich and clear. So the challenge for us then is to identify these lads early, okay, and put the programs in place for them that they come through the years, and that when they get to 16 and 17, you know that they're ready to play at the required level.
And there's a real sense as well that Brian has built a very, very strong management team around him. You've mentioned a few of them there already, and obviously yourself as well. You know, for Clare hurling people to see someone like yourself wearing the Mayor Come On bib, like, there's a real sense that this squad are in very, very good hands.
Well, I suppose the credit for putting the management team together really probably goes to Donal Maloney, you know, because Donal certainly contacted me 2.5 years ago, and I'm sure he contacted the other lads as well. And then he identified kind of probably, for excuse the expression, a younger leadership group to lead it, you know, and the likes of Brian and Damien and Keith and Hugh have come in there, and they've brought great energy and great ideas to it. But look at, my thinking on this is, okay, look, we're here for what's the good of Clare hurling, you know, it's and to help out in any way possible. And look, I think if that's everybody's mindset, then, you know, the group that you have are in a good place.
And they certainly are in a good place heading to Athenry. And it's an interesting dynamic, I suppose. It's the ultimate question that's asked annually from, I suppose, Galway's point of view. Here's a Clare team now coming in off the back of five championship performances. It's a Galway team with their first outing. Like, how much does that dynamic play into it?
Yeah, it's a good question, you know. And the probability is you won't know the answer until the game is over on Saturday, you know. Certainly, we played Galway twice this year, and they are very strong. They were probably in experimental mode. Some days we saw players that were really good, and we didn't see them. The next day we saw another cohort of good players. So Galway will be strong, and they'll be very talented. I suppose the advantage for us, if you call it an advantage, is we're playing game six. We probably know our routines and our patterns well at this stage, and they're well established, and they're comfortable with that. Now, it'll be interesting to see, okay, will it be the fresh team that'll come out on Saturday in Galway and play really well, or will it be the experiences we have learned? I think that'll be the challenge. It'll be an interesting challenge to see how it fares out on Saturday.
Yeah, and just finally, and this would probably have been led by the management team, like to reset the minds now from the disappointment of the outcome in the Gaelic grounds, to focus the minds on the positive from that night, and remember, there's two games here now, Galway, and as we know from last night, Laois to come in this qualifier series, so a pathway to the All-Ireland still very much open.
Oh, absolutely, and I suppose the great thing about being young is you bounce very quickly. You know, we met the players again and saw them again on Thursday night, you know, and, you know, they got over their initial disappointment, you know, and we had a good session there at the weekend. So there is no problem with that, I think. The young lads are great to bounce and recover and refocus. So look, in a good place heading up to Athenry on Saturday.
And just finally, Cyril, if I can, to ask you about the seniors. I suppose everybody is in a flaking mood now. You know, there's a repeat of the 95 All-Ireland, or hopefully a repeat of the Munster final of 1995. Three very, very good performances, unbeaten. I'd say it'll be a carnival atmosphere in a Sunday to send the lads off to a Munster final. What have you made of it all?
Uplifting is the word I'd use now, you know. The game in Thurles, two games in Thurles, you know, outstanding team performances, you know. And I suppose the talk at the start of the year was, okay, Limerick and Waterford would be team one and two, and then who'd be fighting for the third place to get to the Ireland quarter-final, you know. And in fairness to Brian and all the players and his management team, they really turned that in the head, you know. And with a game to go and to be already guaranteed you must have final place and three more championship matches at least coming, and injured players coming back to strengthen the squad, you know, Clare are in a good place now. And I suppose the measure really was the game against Limerick. Everyone, I suppose, in the two previous games were focusing on, OK, what happened to Cork, what happened to Tipperary, and really Clare came in under the radar. But look, on Sunday you come away and say, yeah, Clare went shoulder to shoulder with the best team in Ireland, you know, and are still unbeaten. And as you said, so much to look forward to.
And you'd have known this with Brian as a former teammate of him. Like, a lot of the praise seems to be that he's just keeping things simple. There's no convoluting, there's no trying to reinvent the wheel. It's doing the basics very, very well, and that's where it'll bring you.
Yeah, well, sure, Brian was an exceptional player, but Brian was an exceptional team player. And he always put team first. And you can see the focus is not on himself. The focus is on the work that the players do and the performance that they give, and you can see the fruits of it now.
Now that is the thoughts of Clare selector Cyril Lyons there on both the minor and senior games. We'll be talking senior in a little while, but we're going to start with the minor up in Athenry Saturday at 1 o'clock versus Galway, a Galway side who will no doubt have the element of surprise on Clare, given this is their first championship game of 2022. Clare, of course, having five heretofore. To give us that Galway angle, David Connors of the Tuam Herald. David, I suppose it's the eternal Galway question, isn't it, really, coming in so far under the radar that even the submarine...
That is an element of surprise is on the money, Derek, for sure. We know very little to nothing, really, essentially, about this Galway team. I know they've played a whole host of challenges since they started. They started back, I think, the trials in December, and they've kind of been working away under the radar since. They've only two players from last year's minor team that made the final, should I say, in Rory Burke and Conor Lawless. So other than that, it's essentially a new group. We don't know a whole lot about them. We don't know much, I suppose, just given the structure. It is the element of surprise. And even people in Galway are wondering what kind of a Galway team is likely to show up.
I'm just looking at one man here named at full forward, Aaron Nyland from Clarendon Bridge. We know, of course, what the Nylands have done in hurling. I'm just thinking back to the last big name that came through off the back of a family performance, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Jack Canning a couple of years ago? As good a rugby player as he was a hurler. So maybe tradition and the name can often carry quite a bit of weight. He's one of three Clarendon Bridge players that are the current county champions up there, so you might maybe expect them to feature strongly.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron is underage next year as well. So he was heavily involved. Clarendon Bridge won the Féile title this year as well, and he scored 2-9 in the final against Ballygunner. He's a serious prospect now. There's no point in saying otherwise. We've a lot of big things, or the next big thing in Galway that we often hear. He's definitely along that line of attackers. He's a frightening talent. He's probably, in terms of his brother Evan, he's a lot taller. He probably possesses a bit more pace. His hurling is top notch as well. At the same time, he's an excellent player. Like, there's no point in saying otherwise. And I suppose he'll be probably himself and Rory Burke will be the two that probably Clare will be looking to really shut down. Rory Burke was there last year as well. He was free taker last year despite having another year. So, and he's captain now this year. So that central spine and the attack are excellent from a Galway point of view. And you mentioned Clare and Bridge, like they just have this incredible conveyor belt of young talent coming through at the same time. So there's a fullback there, Sean Murphy and Derek Coonahan on this team. So it's strong. That Clare and Bridge team is very strong, and they have a bit of Féile success behind them as well, and they're being hoovering up county titles to beat the band as under 16, minor, under 14, all the way up along. So yeah, no, they're definitely likely to backbone this team and continue to backbone many county teams for years to come, I think.
And a man there as well at wing back, Ben O'Donovan from the capital of North Clare, called Gort. So that'll be an interesting derby for him. Let's go to Colin Ryan to pick up on that, because Colin, team news from a Clare perspective. Good to see Dermot Stritch down to start, having recovered from that concussion issue. Cian Nealon the man to lose out, but I suppose, like, you look down along the panel then, we saw Matthew O'Halloran come in playing a great game the last night as well, and obviously Mr. Gunning, Owen Gunning from Broadford, who you picked as your man of the match, an outstanding defensive talent. This is shaping up to be a right good battle.
Yeah, for sure. And like David said there, the Galway team is something that we don't know a lot about, or the Clare panel. No, in saying that, I'm sure the Clare management and how prepared they are have seen Galway play challenge matches, and they've done their homework and everything else. But Galway will certainly have, you know, a plan for how Clare have played, seeing as they've seen them in Championship, you know, a number of times, and they'll kind of know maybe that they need to shut down certain areas. But like you're saying there about the team personnel, like Matthew Hannon had a phenomenal game, I thought, in the Munster final, you know, so, like, you know, for him to hold on to his place, you know, is only right. I think Keane probably was a bit disappointed maybe in how he played, or, you know, the full forward line in general. I thought, you know, we didn't get a lot out of him that day, and certainly we'll need a lot more on Saturday. But having Dermot back, it just creates more options, and, you know, they're so young, these lads, that you kind of forget sometimes that, you know, they can have off days, and, you know, they play on a bit of confidence, and, you know, Keane could come on the next day and make a big difference.
That was really brought home to you the other night watching the Leinster final, and listening to Leo O'Connor, the Offaly manager, being interviewed afterwards, and he said it's a big year for these lads. They have the junior cert coming up, and it kind of struck you then, like, you're watching kids here.
Yeah, definitely. And I see it, like, inside in school, you know, there's no sixth years involved, you know, at all. So, like, you have fifth years, you have a handful of fifth years, you have some TYs if they do it, and then some third years. So I think you do forget how young these lads are. Some of these lads might even start on an under-19 school team, you know, that's what it's gone to. So, like, before, you would always associate Harty with minor, whereas with the year gone down, you know, it's certainly lessened, I suppose, the age gap, you know, that you're dealing with fourth years and third years and fifth years, and like, you forget how young they are and how I suppose soon they are in their hurling development. And like, that group of players, I suppose, coming out of minor this year probably haven't had a lot of major competitions over the last couple of years, especially with COVID. So, you know, they are really coming in under the radar in terms of how they're developing, and minor this year is probably their starting point for that development.
David, is there a sense, I would imagine this is a conversation being had around Galway circles, and maybe in a lot of ways it might be out of your hands a small bit, but the fact of having no provincial competition and coming in then meeting teams that have come through three, four, in Clare's case, five championship games? Like, long term, is that sustainable?
No, Derek, I could spend the next hour here ranting and giving out to you about the whole situation. It's grossly unfair. Like, it's unfair to Galway in the point of view that, like, you're probably going to face Clare now, an elite team that have five games underneath the belt. So they've settled. They have a chance to pick their teams and, you know, really get an understanding of how they like to play. And, you know, like, you learn so much, like, over competitive game time. Like, it's incredible from a management point of view. And I suppose from a Clare point of view, it's unfair as well, because Galway are coming in pure fresh. It's, you know, like, they Clare have five games underneath their belt. They're, you know what I mean, they're battle-hardened at this stage as well. It's something that needs to be addressed from a Galway point of view, because having spoke to, like, respective managers over the last 2 years, they're crying out to be invited into a provincial championship. I know we've had a lot of success at winning minors and reaching finals and stuff like that, but I think from a management point of view, a lot of them would actually take a guaranteed five games rather than some of them All-Ireland titles, because when we get there, we seem to have real problems in translating that to under 20, even getting lads onto senior squads. So I think it's a very tricky situation for Fergal Healy and Galway to deal with. And I know he's expressed his frustration with it when I was chatting to him during the week. He just says he said that it just kind of beggars belief that Galway are left on the outside looking in when we're involved in senior in Leinster and we're playing in the under 20 Leinster Championship as well. It just makes no sense, really. As I said, I could give out about the next hour. I'm sure your Clare listeners won't really care or be bothered too much. But it's, from a Galway point of view, we just find it grossly unfair. It's a Leinster issue, really, more than anything else. We would Galway people would love to see the Galway minors compete in a Leinster campaign. I don't think this, you know, beating semi-finalists and, you know, sitting on the outside for months is doing Galway hurling any good. So I think hopefully maybe down the line there'll hopefully be a motion put forward or something like that, that we'll see a bit of change and that Leinster will finally welcome us in at minor level.
And fair play to you. You're making it handy for Clare lads to get there as well. You're not dragging us out to Salt Hill. We can tip away along the motorway there, swing off for Dublin and turn off for Athenry. A lovely venue. Obviously, it's a busy day in Salt Hill. You've got that double header going on too. But Athenry, a fantastic venue. I was there a couple of days myself, actually. Spent some time in the school there with Fergal Moore and the crew as well in Athenry. So know it quite well. Lovely venue. And it'll be well set up for a right good hour's hurling.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. It's a great venue. Just even the infrastructure, like if people don't want to, like, from, you can easily get the train like directly to Athenry from Innes, we'll say, and or even Six Mile Bridge, and you'll be in Athenry in about 40 minutes, and you're 5 minute walk from the pitch. Then if you don't even fancy driving, but it's the venue is really it's something that people in Galway have been, you know, crying out for, to have more, you know, intercounty games in venues like Athenry and Ballinasloe, because Pearse Stadium has a fairly poor rep amongst the hurling fraternity. They're fickle in terms of their willingness to travel to Pearse Stadium, because just the traffic and, you know, just it's a nightmare venue, really. Like, I know a lot of people will be heading in afterwards, but I'm sure there's plenty that won't bother their behind either heading in afterwards, because, you know, just you're essentially giving up a whole day getting to Salt Hill. So from a Clare point of view, yeah, it's great. Like, you know, you'll be able to get in and out fairly quickly. You won't be caught in traffic for too long, and, you know, it should be a nice handy spin down the motorway afterwards.
Yeah, Salt Hill, grand for an ice cream, not so much for a match. Colin, no. Finish up with yourself. Can Clare travel in hope?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think, you know, what this group have learned, I think, in their five game spell, and, you know, David is right there, like I think what this Clare team has learned from their first game to the Munster final the last day, you know, has been phenomenal. And I think in terms of these players' development, like, the management have learned an awful lot about them too, you know, and their resilience and their character and everything else. And, like, I think they'll just carry through with that, you know, probably bottle up the disappointment of losing the penalties against Tipperary and go, you know, we'd love another crack at them, you know, and they have another shot. So, like, if they can turn over Galway or Laois, you know, there's a good chance that possibly only winning one of them, you know, you might get through. So they'd be in a All-Ireland semi-final then. So, like, that's going to be the goal, but they're not going to look past Galway. They are probably going to think that we have a bit of an upper hand on Galway, in the sense that, you know, we've a lot of games played here. We know what our hand is. You know, Galway might be coming in and kind of feeling like that we need to get up to game place as quick as possible. But that Clare team is going to know maybe what the pitch of the game is like very quickly. So I think, yeah, of course. But again, we stress at this level, God knows, you know, you just don't know what things are going to happen.
That is for sure. Lad, thanks very much indeed for that, Colin and David there. We'll have live commentary of that game here tomorrow from 1 o'clock. That coming with thanks to Clare GAA's winahouseinthehinge.com. That draw happening at the end of this month, so time running out to pick up your tickets to be in with a chance to win €100 for a house in the Hinge. They're available on winahouseinthehinge.com, or you can also get them through your local clubs or any officer of Clare GAA. We are back soon.
We're coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
Now, you're welcome back to Clare FM Sideline View on this Friday evening, where we're joined in studio by the Clare man that broke the Irish 10,000 metre record recently at under 20 level. I am, of course, talking about Dean Casey of Innistrack. Delighted to have him in studio along with his dad, Gerard, this evening to have a little chat about that. And I suppose, in general, your record in athletics over the last couple of months, and particularly the last couple of years, Dean, has been quite impressive in the way you've gone about things. But this must have been a very nice moment.
It was perfect day, perfect weather. It was just perfect day to get it.
Is it ever something that you, I'll swing over this way a little bit if people can hear the mic going there, is it ever something that you kind of set out thinking about in a race, or is it something that just kind of happens?
Well, normally going into races, like I knew what the 10k record was going into that race, and in back of my head I wanted to achieve it, but my main goal was just to go 29 minutes, if not quicker. So, and if I got it, I was delighted when I did. But if I wasn't going to get it, I wouldn't really cared that much. But I went out and got it.
Yeah, you went out and got it, and a big smile on your face, I'd imagine, when you realise it as well. Because as you mentioned, like, we've been tracking yourself and Dylan's progress over the last couple of years in athletics, and there was that lovely moment, I think the two of you crossed the line almost together in one particular race.
Yeah, that was the European Cross Country Club Championships in Lisbon, Portugal in February.
Yeah.
Where I went out and won it and Dylan came in second.
Was there ever any fear of you stopping off to come right in together, or is that competitive thing among siblings always the case?
Well, there is that competitive among us now, where we always want to beat each other but also want to see each other do well at the same time.
Where did the interest or the love for athletics come from initially?
We're about in fifth class, I think it was, if not younger. And we just decided to join a running club just for the fun of it. And next thing you know, we're just continuing on running. We haven't stopped.
It sounds very simple, Ger, but is that how it all played out?
Near enough. They were involved with GAA and they were doing a small bit of rugby with Gort and stuff, because we live up that area. But I'd always done a bit of running myself, and I always felt you have to be able to run if you want to do other sports. So the best way to get the mechanics and all that right was to join the running club. And basically, as Dean said, they just kept going then. So it took over from everything else eventually.
Yeah, it's amazing how the interest can come so rapidly that you do it two or three times and realise this is something I'm good at and something that I enjoy. Because, I mean, the lads wouldn't have achieved what they've achieved unless they enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. But it also comes down to the setup in the club and the running group that they have. That under 20 team is just unbelievable. Like, Dean got off the plane there Sunday morning, and he went down to Flannels to join him for the run, and they all started shouting at him, come on, training started at 10 o'clock. Like, they didn't care he was after getting a national record, you know. But that's what you want. You need that banter and that bit of fun, and, you know, just keep them all going.
Yeah, because as you touched on there, like, it's not just domestic success you've had. You've had success at international level now. So, I mean, your targets must be lifting all the time, are they?
Yeah, so recently I came back from Portugal, and I got to meet some top class athletes over there from all over Europe and some maybe even the world. And even when I went to Portugal for the European clubs, we met people there who we even met in Portugal where we went on a training camp. So, like, it's just going out and meeting new people, international people. Like, it's just gonna be great down the line, because a lot of those people we've met, they're all my age group, so I should hopefully be seeing them down the in the future.
You're in St. Lennon's. How are the studies going?
Studies are going grand. That's the most
unconvincing answer we've got so far, Ger, I think, is it?
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, we're getting there. So there's no races coming up now till July. So the only race now is to get the leaving done.
Yeah, it's a big year, isn't it? How are things going for it?
Things are going grand. Studying away. Couldn't do more, really.
Yeah. He's saying that now, just for people out there listening, bear in mind the father's only two seats away here now, so he has to tell us that the coloured calendar and all that stuff is out in the room, ready to go. Just listening to himself there, like, it's the maturity at this age, and I'd imagine that the discipline of the sport they're in has probably played a huge part in that.
Oh, absolutely, because running at that level, you know, it's no more than a GA player or a rugby player playing at the top level. Like, you know, you have to have your disciplines, bed early, eat well, train well, you know, so you know, you haven't too much room for messing around with.
Mm. Do you reckon it's going to be a case that Dylan is going to try and beat that record you set?
Well, he has about a year left trying to beat it, so I say he'll have a go at it anyways.
There's the gauntlet laid down now, if ever I heard it. Mm. But I suppose ultimately, obviously your teammates from Innistrack that were involved in that success as well, Clare Athletics is in a good place. I mean, you're, I'd imagine, happy with the level of facilities that's available to you. I know it can always be better, obviously, but I'd imagine the support you get from the club has been huge in what you've done so far.
Nearly every race after we do well or anything like that, we always get congratulations from the club, from just everyone in the club, really. And it's not just towards one person, it's towards the whole entire team of us. And like our coach, like, we can't do much more without our coach. Like, he's the one who actually gets us to races and helps us prepare for the races. So
yeah, that's Pat Hogan we're talking about there. I think, Ger, he's vital as well in kind of, maybe if I'm not mistaken in saying this, kind of identifying the races where he feels that the progression will come from.
Absolutely. So he's like, bit off me above training, he said, I'm not taking the group today, I just want to stand in the middle of the track or above in the middle of Lees Road or Belly Griffey Woods or whatever, just see what way they're running and what's happening with the group. And he'll always come to a lad, he says, you know what, there's a great 800 metre race coming up. It could be Belgium, it could be down in Limerick, it could be Lees Road itself, or in Dean's case, the night of 10,000 PBs in London. So that is set up for you. You're doing that. So, and are you okay with that? Dean said, yeah, right, we're going for that. That was decided last January.
Yeah, so you're kind of assessing each strength to see what'll suit better. So busy couple of months coming up for you, leaving cert, hopefully then out to those championships and onwards from there. What's your, I will finish up on this, your ultimate goal? Where do you see the absolute, are we talking Olympics, are we talking going towards the pro ranks, what are we talking about?
Like, I would like to go to Olympics or maybe even to become pro now, but I said the Olympics will be probably my next big like event or championship to make, but like anything could happen in between that, and which could be equally as good, if not better. So it all depends on how everything falls together.
Absolutely. We'll look at, I suppose, get over this summer firstly and see where things lead on from there. Ger and Dean, thanks for coming into studio here this evening. I've no doubt you'll be in plenty more over the coming weeks and months as well, and the best of luck with what's ahead. Leaving cert first and see what comes after that. Now it is time for this week's Greyhound Focus with Alan Troy.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
Good evening all, and welcome to this week's Greyhound Focus. Starting with the action from Galway Greyhound Stadium, on Friday evening, lass, there was a quick fire double for 6 Mile Bridge trainer Stephen Murray when he landed the spoils in race 4 and 5. Edo Dado, who Stephen trains for Fecal's Gary Pepper, impressed with an 8-length victory for an A6 contest in a time of 29.44. A son of Droopy Sidney and Emma's Dream, this was his first career win. Next up it was the turn of Verstappen, who is owned by Stephen's daughter Ashling. A son of Patsy Sabbath and Crystallise, he notched career win number 2 in 1919 for an S6. The final race of the evening, Brickhill Lele, was back to winning ways after a career break for Kilmehel native John Collins and Ballyea native Albert Long. Leila, who is a daughter of Droopy Sidney and Ratmeehan May, stopped the clock in 28.84 to record career success number 7. And now to Saturday night's action from Galway. Amy's Jack, trained by Donny Duggan, ran impressively over the 575 yards trip. A son of Skywalker Rafa, no time to talk. After hitting the post with 2 seconds, Jack recorded his first career success on his third attempt in a winning time of 31.78. Jack is owned by Mr. Peter Russell. Stephen Murray presented Tuesday's Hope for an A5 contest. This novice son of Magical Bale and Bull Run Banter is owned by the fecal duo of Gary and Damien Pepper. Hope finished strongly to land the spoils in 29.12. And the final race of the evening went to the Galway-owned Hanover Phantom, who was trained by Liscanners Declan and Terry McDonough. From a slow break for the 550-yard strip, Phantom took the lead along the back street, and there was no catching this son of Slippery Robert and B. Slow Dor in a scintillating 29.69. This was only 3 spots off the official track record. And there was racing last night at Galway Greyhound Stadium, and we had 2 clear winners. Sue's Posh, a son of Cable Bay and Millbank Posh, landed his 4th career success for Tubbers Johnny Burke in 29.51. And there was further success for Stephen Murray when Arrowhead Julie obliged in 28.86. Stephen, who was Galway's leading trainer in 2021, is well on course for that accolade again if his recent form continues. Arrowhead is a son of Patsy Sabbath and Crystallize and is owned by Kevin Ryan from Rouen. And now to the action from Limerick Greyhound Stadium. On Saturday evening, lass, John Meehan from Newmarket and Fergus got the Clare flag flying with Bling Bling Paul in what was an eye-catching performance over the 550-yard strip. He recorded a 10th career success, and this son of S.H. Avatar and Killinan Rena crossed the line 12 lengths to the good in a personal best of 29.66. There was a first career success for the Brawford-based Fireball Flyer, who was trained by Donal Cooney. A son of Droopy's Cane and Roxy Music, Flyer finished strongly to record 29.54. And Tremora Ange won her 3rd race for Quilty's David Hogan. A daughter of Droopy Sidney and Tremora Floss, Ange led from trap to line to justify her favourite tag. Her winning time was 29.25. And last night at Limerick Greyhound Stadium, it proved to be a great evening for some of the magnificent ladies that are associated with local greyhound racing over the last few decades. First up to record a treble was Mary Crutty from O'Brien's Bridge. Mary is well known for her Inisloski prefix, and Inisloski Jasper and Romeo won their respective races last night in 29.54 and 29.35. And the treble was completed when Rara Manda won in 29.60, who Mary also trains. And another remarkable lady of the Greyhound fraternity, Anne Carey from Curraclare, recorded a double last night with her kennel charges. Gaur Pam and Gaur Jet. Pam is the daughter of Droopy's Roddick and Clownanna Pam and landed her 5th career win in 29.57. And Jet, a son of Droopy's Jet and Cloon Glory, recorded career win number 14 in 29.70. And Mine Robin recorded her 10th career win for Mary Brown from Quinn. This daughter of Velvet John Joe and Sawdust Cafe stopped the clock in 29.29. That's Greyhound Focus for this week, folks. Slán, August Bannocht.
Thanks for that, Adam. That's Sideline View for this week as well. Owen O'Neill is up next. Enjoy your Friday.